I'm reading from the Gospel of John, chapter 18 and chapter 19 this morning. In these chapters is the account of the Lord Jesus Christ being crucified. In chapter 18, verse 33, Jesus Christ stood before Pilate, the governor, who asked him the question, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" Then in verse 39, he said to the people, he said, "Will you that I release unto you the king of the Jews?" Then in chapter 19, verse 3, it says the soldiers mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews." Then in verse 14 and 15, it was about the sixth hour, and it says that Pilate said to the people, to the Jews, "Behold your king." And then they said, "We have no king but Caesar." And then in verse 19 of chapter 19, it says Pilate wrote a title, put it on the cross above his head in nearly every language, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Now the issue then, and the issue now, is who reigns and rules over all? Who is all-powerful? Is there a king? Is there a sovereign? Is there one who reigns and rules over heaven and earth, over men and angels and devils and all things? Is there? This book says so. God's Word says so. Though modern man scoffs and mocks at this, as they did then, they scoff and mock at what they call the foolish notion of ignorant, unlearned, uneducated mountain people about an unseen kingdom and an unseen king. It is true, nonetheless. And my question for you is, are you in this kingdom? Have you bowed the knee to this unseen king? Now, this is the truth. There is a king. His name is Jesus Christ. He is unseen, but he reigns and rules right now over all. He reigns and rules over you. Your breath and all your ways are in his hands to do with as he pleases. David said, "Our God is in the heavens, and he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased." God's king is unseen, yet he is there, seated on the throne. And the kingdom of God is unseen. And really, his subjects, those who are in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of his dear son, are not very clearly seen to the average person. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ first came preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That's what he first preached. And he said to some religious men, he said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation." That is, not clearly seen or known. The kingdom of God is an unseen kingdom. And he said to some others, "The kingdom of God is among you, within you, right in your midst. You're looking at the king and don't know it." The Lord Jesus Christ, that is who is king. That is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Lord Jesus Christ ruled. He reigned over all before he came. He was king before he came here. And when he came, he was reigning and ruling over all things, even his own crucifixion. And I'm here to tell you, right now, he reigns and rules, sovereignly controls and rules over all things right now. Now, this is the joy, the peace, the glory of his people who are indeed Jews, not outwardly, not national people that live in the country of Israel, but true Israel, a Jew which is one inwardly, circumcision not with hands, but by God and of the heart. Those Jews, true circumcision, they know who he is. He's their king. They worship, they adore, they bow to him. They know why he came. They know where he is now. They know what he is doing. And they love that it is so. In Luke chapter 19, the Lord told the story of a certain nobleman who went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. His citizens hated him, but he sent his subjects. Sent a message to them, but they said, "We will not have this man to reign over us." That's what made the Jews so angry then. They said, this man, this Jesus, is not our king. He's not our sovereign. We have no king but Caesar. And this is what made the Romans mock him. King of the Jews. Hail, King of the Jews. They said, he's the Jewish kingdom. What a poor king he is. They said, he's not our king, only Caesar. Spurgeon said this. Charles Spurgeon, an English preacher many years ago, said, this story of Christ being crucified is the story of what all sinful hearts do until they're changed by the sovereign power and grace of God. They will not have the Lord Jesus Christ to rule over them. He said Christ would be hanged today if he came among men, by every people, by the world. They would cry out, as their predecessors did, away with him. We will not have him reign over us. End of quote. I'm here to tell you that he does reign and rule. And you don't let him reign, he does reign. You don't make him Lord, he is your Lord. And maybe in mercy and grace he'll let you know that and let you into his kingdom. In chapter 18, verse 28, it says, they led Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. Before that, it says they led him to the high priests to be tried by him. Who led who? Who was really leading this whole thing? Well, Peter, when he stood up at Pentecost, preached this. You, with wicked hands, have taken and crucified the Lord of glory. But he said, you did what God determined before to be done. He said, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified him and slain him. No one could have touched him if God had not willed it and purposed it, if Christ had not submitted to it. In fact, just before that, when they came in the garden to take him, he said, whom seek ye? They said, Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, I am. And they fell backwards to the ground. He said long before that, no man taketh my life from me. I lay it down of myself. I have this power. I have this sovereign ability that no man taketh my life. You cannot do something with God. You cannot allow God to do anything. You do not let God do anything. It is God who does the letting, God who does the allowing, God who does the reigning, the ruling, and controlling. Well, in verse 28, it says they led him, though it was Christ himself who willingly went. It was God who sent him to be crucified, allowed him to be taken by men to do what God had determined before to be done. You see, God is God. You don't let God be God. You don't let him be Lord. He is Lord. And it says they led him. It was early. They themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled. These religious men would not go into the hall of judgment. It was to be their Passover, and they would not defile themselves. Well, I'm here to tell you, everyone shall stand someday in the judgment. These men stood in the judgment, shall stand in the judgment before the very one whom they think they judge, whom they think they rule over. They shall stand before him to be judged by him. You and I will. If we do not stand in Christ, we will stand before him to be judged by him. If we have not been judged in Christ on the cross, we will be judged by Christ for our works. If Christ was not made sin for us, if Christ's righteousness was not imputed to us, we will stand to be judged by him, by his righteousness, and we will come far short. Do you understand what that means? Go and learn what that means. Well, they had taken counsel together and determined to kill the Lord Jesus Christ, though they had him before their kangaroo court. But they did what God had already in his court, in his counsel, before the world began, already determined for them to do. This is God's predestination. This is God's sovereign will. What do you think of that? That all things and all people and all events are according to the sovereign will, power, and direction and purpose of the Lord and sovereign King of Kings, Jesus Christ. All good, all evil, all angels, all devils, all principalities and powers. What shall we say to these things? God's people say, Amen. It is God who worketh all things after the counsel of his will. None can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Now, the Lord Jesus Christ came to die. He said, for this cause I came into the world. He came in a sovereign covenant and purpose made with the Father before the world began, to die as a substitute for his people, his elect, those given to him. That's what he said. I lay down my life for the sheep. And he said of some, you're not my sheep. But he laid down his life for his sheep. This salvation, this crucifixion of Christ was a work of substitution on behalf of God's people, that he was made sin for them, that God laid on him the iniquity of all of his people, given to Christ. And Christ paid the penalty, paid the price, paid for their sins, bore the wrath and judgment, the hell that was due to them. Christ didn't make an attempt to save. He didn't make an offer that was to be offered to all mankind. He came to pay for the sins of his people. Just like the high priest of old went into the Holy of Holies with names on his breastplate and names on his shoulder, the names of God's chosen people, Israel. Christ went to that cross with the names of his people engraved on the palms of his hand, on his heart, laid on his shoulders, and he put away their sin by the sacrifice of himself. The gospel is no offer to man. The gospel is a substitutionary work of Jesus Christ for his particular people, and Christ put away their sins. He came in great love and mercy and grace to do this for some, not all, for many, not all. None deserved it, but Jesus Christ was crucified for his people. Now, it says that they mocked his kingship. They mocked his sovereignty. What about you? All mankind mocks God, but God is not mocked. Religion is the worst. Most modern religion tells people, false religion, false prophets say, make Jesus your Lord. Let Jesus into your heart. Accept Jesus as your personal Savior. That's mockery. That's blasphemy. That's not in the Bible. No one who knows and fears the Lord, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the Most High Potentate, the God in whose hands our breath is, would dare to say, let him be God. Make him Lord. Shall the creature say to the Creator, I'm going to let you do this or let you do that. I am here to declare the decree from Psalm 2. God said it, I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh at them, the Scripture says. The Scripture says, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish when his wrath is kindled but a little. One time they tried to make Jesus king, and he passed through them. And he wouldn't allow that to happen. Why? Because you don't make the king a king. You don't let God be God. You don't make him Lord. He already is. It's mockery. It's blasphemy to say so. And all who say so don't know him, don't fear him. Here's wisdom. Here's the fear of the Lord. Here's salvation. Bow the knee right now, wherever you are, in your bathroom, in your bedroom, right now. Bow the knee to your king, to your sovereign. Call on the name of the Lord. Say, Lord, save me. Say, O King, let me into your kingdom. Let me. Oh, may the Lord sovereignly cause you to do just that. Amen.